Good morning. We'd like to welcome everybody who has come to join us to worship here at Providence Presbyterian Church this morning. You will find folders at the end of the pews where we would like you to please sign your names, and then you can pass them down the length of the pew and pass them back, and you can look at the names there and be able to greet those who are sitting next to you. We do welcome all who are visitors today, and I know there are several, so we welcome you here this morning. You'll see a rosebud up here this morning. We've all been waiting for the birth of the Vaca baby. And on Wednesday, Sylvia Rose Vaca, arrived in the world safely and is being welcomed by Mom Julia, Dad Dan, and Brother Sam, and Grandmother Lucy. And so we hear everything is going well, and we're pleased to have her in our family now. You will also notice in your bulletin, I'd like to call attention, there will be a Governor's Candidates Forum on August 4th from 1 to 2:30 at the Crown Plaza Hotel. If you have any questions about that, you can talk to Murray or to Dorothea, and they're both here if you have questions and would like to ask during coffee hour. And there is coffee hour after worship between the through the double doors back there, so please feel free to come and join us. Pastor Chris and the youth are on a mission trip this week into Boston. They are worshiping at Congregational Church this morning and will be commissioned there to go on their mission trip. So please keep them all in your prayers this week as they work in Boston at various sites. Tuesday nights, we have our barbecues from 6 to 8. Sally, did you want to say anything? Anything about the barbecues? Six to 8 o'clock, there are hot dogs and hamburgers, variously cooked. Some people bring vegetarian burgers along with them because they prefer the vegetarian. Everybody brings a side dish to pass. There's desserts, salads, whatever your imagination might bring, and a good time is had by y'all. So everybody is welcome. Are there any other announcements? I have one about the closing amen. We're going to try to not have the entire thing played through, but we'll have three little quick amens, and then we want everybody to join in. We want to have this, you know, celebration as we're walking out at the end of the service. So please join in fairly readily. There'll be three quick, short amens, and then I think Andrew's ready to get us all started. And so if Andrew starts before you think you want to start, go ahead and join him anyway. Okay? Let us worship God.
Thank you.
Please join me in the responsive call to worship as you find it in the bulletin. Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel.
You who lead Joseph like a flock.
You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Restore us, O God.
Thank you.
The proof of God's amazing love is this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God with confidence. In faith and in penitence, let us confess our sin before God, first silently and then together in unison. Let us pray. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Amen. Let us sing while still seated, verse 2 of number 301, our song of confession. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us, Christ rose for us, Christ reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life is gone and the new has begun. Be at peace and know that we are forgiven. And I forgot one announcement as I see Andrew standing here, it reminds me. 9:30 next week, everybody, please come that would like to sing and join together congregational singing. And during special music time, you'll join together and sing for the congregation. So please come at 9:30 next week. I believe there'll be some gospel music maybe. And so it should be a lot of fun. So please come and join us next morning at Sunday at 9:30.
Shall ever surely find me.
This is the time during which we share our joys and concerns, and before I hand over the microphone, I'm going to say my joy this morning is to share the pulpit with Jerison Rilke, who is under the care of this congregation as he is seeking ordination in the Presbyterian Church USA. So we welcome Jerison this morning. We also have family members from Andrew's family and my family all here today, so that's a joy for us to share family with you all.
Lori Gerard is in Pennsylvania at her grandfather's funeral. This morning, there will be childcare because I'm going to go down with the kids, and that's my joy.
I had a really joyous vacation with my high school reunion, my family reunion, extended family, and then later with my son and my grandchild and my other two grandchildren from Sacramento that came up. So that was good. However, while I was gone, it seems like Walter has gone downhill more. As I said before, there's no further treatment for him, although he's probably going to have radiation in a couple of weeks for pain in his side. And he's on oxycodone now, so I'd appreciate prayers for him and for me that I can take care of him well.
Heather Little Andrade asked us to pray for her grandniece, Molly Little, who's 5 years old and has a tumor in the brainstem. It looks like it's malignant.
I have a concern for my friend Lorna, which has been a friend of mine for a long time. She just recently lost her father of 92 years old. And just pray for them and their family because they're struggling with it. And she'll be out of town, so I'll be like lost without her. But anyways, just have prayers for her and her family.
Melinda, can you share her name? Lorna. I'm sorry. Lorna. Lorna.
My joy is that we're going to get to celebrate my dad's 90th birthday, which happened a while back, but we're taking a trip together. This was his birthday present. And my concern is that, as you know, when you put a lot of family together, things can go well or they cannot go so well. So my prayer request is that we would all have a really good time and that it would be a real positive experience for all of us, especially for my dad, as this might be the last big trip that we all do together.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my nephew, Dustin. He's on a mission trip with his church in Nicaragua.
I would like prayers for my friend Danielle's family. She passed away this week of cancer. So just prayers for her kids and her husband.
So I just want to say with my own words, next Sunday, everybody who wants to sing, and there's some people who say, you know, we'll join choir, we want to sing, but not yet. Everybody can join us at 9:30. We'll sing something very, very simple, but very, very cheerful and charged.
I'd like to thank this congregation for praying for my brother Jim. He's home, he's been in rehab, he's continued to do rehab. He's been fighting this cancer for 6 years and it seems to be gone, but it's sort of ravished his body a little, but he's a fighter and so he's gonna be coming up to visit me this week.
Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for your love which surrounds us always. Help us always to be mindful as we watch the news, and we might despair as we look at the violence throughout the world, that you are indeed with us. We pray that there might be peace throughout the world, that the leaders of all nations might seek resolutions other than violence. We pray for peaceful negotiations, for people's willingness to talk and to listen. We pray, O God, for those people who must live in the midst of violence, whether it be within their own countries, between countries, within their own families, on their city streets. Despite the horror that might surround them, help them to feel your presence and at least moments of peace within. We pray for this nation and its leaders. May they have wisdom. May they be guided by those things which are seeking the greater good for the most people, rather than being motivated by a desire for power or for wealth or just simple influence. We pray, O God, for all people who are living in need. And there's so many different kinds, a need for health. And we thank you that Jim has continued his fight, that he has rebounded, that he's going to be healthy enough to come see Julie. We pray for Dustin. We pray for Lori's mother-in-law, who is hospitalized yet again. We pray for Molly and for Walter. We pray, O God, for those people who are grieving, Danielle's family, Lori's family. And we thank you, God, that we have opportunities for family reunions and ongoing life with the people that we love. Be with Brooke and his family as they celebrate his father's birthday. May they have a very blessed and joyous time together, and may they travel safely. And we thank you, God, that Judy had a very blessed trip and had time to be with her family and with her classmates. We thank you, God, for all the blessings of relationships that we have. We pray, O God, that you will be with all of those who are ill, who are fighting illnesses, those who are living with illnesses for which there may be no cure. Be with Lorna. We pray, O God, that those who must live with illnesses for which there is no cure, that they may find inner resources to continue to cope with, to live with. And may they know that you are walking with them. Be with those who are caregivers. Like Judy, may they find the strength to do what they need to do. Fill them with the love that they need and the patience that they need and the confidence in you, O God, that you are with them always. We pray that you will be with those who are on the mission trip from both congregations this week. Be with the youth, and may they have an experience of truly being blessed by those with whom they work and by each other. Be with their advisors, and may they also know that this is a blessed time. Fill them all with your presence, O God, and may they know your Holy Spirit is working among them. May they have new insights into you and your ways, into other people and their ways. We pray that you'll be with this congregation as we seek a new co-pastor. Be with the PNC, and may they truly be guided by your Holy Spirit as they study the candidates and seek to go through interviews and understand exactly who it is you are calling here to be the new co-pastor. We pray that in all that we do as a congregation, we are faithful to you and to your work, and that we are seeking to discern your will in doing what you'd call us to do. We pray for your church universal, that in all that we do, wherever we may be, your body of Christ, that we are in tune to you and serving you. Help us all as we seek to follow in the footsteps of Christ, living faithful lives. And we pray as he taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It is now time for the children to come down front for the children's message. I'm going to tell you a special kind of story today. It's a story about a Bible story. It's called a midrash. Can you say that? Midrash.
Midrash.
Very good. I'll probably tell you some more midrash in weeks to come. But midrash are a lot of fun because they're not straight out of the Bible, but you're going to hear some things that sound kind of like things out of the Bible. Yeah. So anyway, these are things that rabbis, you know who rabbis are? They're the leaders of Jewish synagogues.
Yeah.
And they used midrash. So before there was anything else, there was God. And besides God, there were some angels. And there was a big gobbled up mess, swirling mass of rocks and water. And the angels went to God one day and they said, God, this place is a mess. Why don't you clean it up? So God pulled some of these rocks out of this whirling mass. And God said, well, I think we'll make some of these rocks into stars. And I think we'll make some of these rocks into planets. And I think we'll let some of these rocks, well, we'll just let them be rocks. And so the angels looked at God and they said, are you done yet? Hoping he wasn't. And God said, oh no, nope, not done. So God took some of the water out of that whirling mass. And God took some of that water and he made a great big pond over here and he called that an ocean. And God made some rivers, took some more water and made lakes. And then God said, I think we'll just let some of this be clouds. And we'll let some of this just be water. So the angels looked around and they said, well, God, it's neater. Are you done yet? And God said, nope, not yet. So God took some dust and God took some water and God made human beings, a man and a woman. And then God said, I'm tired. You all take over. And they said, what? But God, you have all the blueprints. You have the plans. We're too little. We can't do this. And God looked at him and said, well, I'd say you're big enough. You can do this. But I'll make a deal with you. We'll be partners. And the man and the woman looked at God and they said, what are partners? And God said, well, sometimes when you have a job that's too big to do all by yourself, you get somebody to help you do it. And that's a partner. But the thing is that when you're partners, you can't quit because your partner is depending upon you. So you have to just keep on working, whether you like it or not, because your partner is depending on you. So there may be days that you don't think I'm doing enough, and there may be days that I, God, don't think you are doing enough, but we're still partners, and we can't quit because we have to finish making the world. So they said, okay, God, it's a deal. We'll be partners. So the angels looked at God, and they said, God, is it done yet? And God looked at him and said, I don't know. Ask my partners. So you know what that means for you? You're partners with God. And God expects you to hold up your side of the partnership, and you have to do things that God wants you to do, okay? Yep. All right. So let's pray. Help us remember, God, that we are your partners, and we can't quit, that we have to do your work and help you finish the world. Amen. The children can go on down to child care now.
Good morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we sit here together, gathered before you, Lord, let our minds be quiet and let our hearts be open so that we can better understand your scripture this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Old Testament lesson is Genesis 25, 19 to 34. Abraham has died, Father Abraham, and this story in Genesis is about his son Isaac. These are the descendants of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Paddan Aram, sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife, granted because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer, and his wife Rebekah conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, if it is to be this way, why do I live? So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The elder shall serve the younger. And when her time to give birth was at hand, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy mantle, so they named him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand gripping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man, living in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he was fond of game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And once when Jacob was cooking a stew, Esau came in from the field and he was famished. And Esau said to Jacob, let me eat some of that red stuff, for I am famished. Therefore he was called Edom. And Jacob said, first sell me your birthright. And Esau said, I am about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me? And Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. The New Testament lesson is Matthew 13, 1 to 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there. And while the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. And further in Matthew, we're reading 18 to 23, which explains the parable of the sower. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. He put before them another parable. I think I just overread one line, okay? So I am going to stop with that. This is the word of the Lord. Be to God. The next hymn is, How Clear is Our Vocation, Lord? In the Presbyterian Hymnal number 419.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Great.
Great. Nice. How are you, Julie? Doing well? Great. Here I am. Yesterday, after some time, I gave myself a treat, beautiful one. I was expecting this for about 2 months now. I went to Boston to see the Phantom of the Opera. Beautiful. Beautiful as beautiful can be. Actually, this is my fifth round. I've been there five times. The story, the scenario, the actors and actresses, the message is so powerful. It's in my life, and I truly, not only me, but all those goers, we do identify with something in that play. Could be, you know, love, challenge, despise, affection, whatever is there, it attracts many people. So I do recommend, if you want to give yourself a treat, have a good time, go to see the Phantom of the Opera. Beautiful. Beautiful as beautiful can be. Here I am to preach. And here you are to listen. Of course, I'm just the box. I'm not the sender, not even the deliverer of the message. Actually, I'm just the box. I'm just the paper around the message. God is sending this message to our community this morning. I truly believe that. I truly believe because I've been struggling with this lesson since I was invited. Thank you, Pastor, again for the opportunity. And I have to tell you the truth. So many ideas, so many perspectives came to me as I was reading and struggling. And struggling is the word I want to use this morning, because I didn't have any answer to this call until yesterday. The parable of the sower is quite simple, extremely simple, and self-explanatory. It seems that Jesus is telling and teaching again his disciples about the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And as mystery, we do understand, we go back to the Old Testament, and we understand those messages who were spoken and brought into the life of the people of Israel to the prophets. So mystery or mysterious message is the message that comes from God. And this, in this very point, is particularly important because Matthew the evangelist, when he starts talking or describing Jesus, telling this story, he's telling that Jesus in that very moment is breaking up with the Jews. Because before the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus was preaching the gospel, was preaching the kingdom of God, but he was rejected so many times. And because he was rejected, he stepped back and he started talking, teaching in parables. Because there is some enigmatic message there, and some people do not understand, and others, quite the contrary, do understand. And this is the parable. A guy, he went to the field to sow. He's a sower. He has the seeds, and he starts just spreading the seeds. And some seeds, bloop, right in the path. Birds, which is a clear image of satanic presence in the Jewish perspective, they come and they eat the seeds. So no plant. Other seeds fell on rocky soil. Rocky soil is a very shallow soil where the rock is right beneath. So it's very shallow. What happened to the seeds? They are accepted. They spread some roots there, but no deepness. And the sun comes and burns them all. No fruit. And again, some seeds fell among thorns. The thorns, more powerful, bigger, they kind of struggle with the seeds. The seeds do not grow. No fruits. But some seeds fell in what Jesus say, express, teaches. He says something about good soil. And the harvest was magnificent. 160 and 30. That is the thing. Quite understandable, very simple, and now I could just close the book and go back home. Quite understandable, quite understandable. Actually, this idea about harvest and people as soil and God as the sower were ideas well known of the Jewish community for many, many, many years. When we go to the Old Testament, even in the Gospel of Matthew, we see these images about God being the sower, people being the soil, what people do represents the kind of harvest we are going to have. Basically, God, Jesus is God, is teaching here that we have two kinds of possibilities when the word of God is spread out, is spoken, is thought. Some people do accept that. Some don't. Why it happened? Jesus gives us the explanation for that. There is no attention. There is lack of understanding. Not because the message is too complicated, too difficult, only theologians or highly educated people can understand. Quite the contrary, you know. The fact is, some people do understand and some people do not understand. It seems that to understand, we need time, devotion, what I call persistence. We have to learn and persist in learning, and the result naturally will be the act. We will respond to the word of God. We listen the word, we think about, we try, we focus on understanding, and the next thing is to act upon the word of God. Quite simple. This is the message here in the Bible. Actually, the parable of the sower is speaking about identities. My identity, maybe your identity, maybe the identity of the disciples and those who were walking and trying to learn from Jesus as he taught, as he preached. Identities. I'm from Portugal originally. I grew up in Brazil. Most of my time lifetime I spent in Brazil. And in the Amazon forest, there is a region there on top, there is this river, deep and very large river, it's called Xingu River. And the tribes of native Brazilians who live there around this river, they are those tribes in the whole country where the influence of civilization or white civilization, European civilization, is very small. They do still live as they learned 1,000 years ago. And the anthropologists, they find very difficult to establish there, on those tribes, to establish the genealogy of a certain person. What is genealogy? Like me, Gerson, he is son of Francisco Roca and Iberê Roca, who were son and daughter from this and that person. It's very hard to establish this genealogy in those tribes. Why? Because a certain male individual in that tribe, they change his identity many times during life. How it happened? By adding, bringing into his life new names. I'm going to explain. Let's say I'm Gerson. I was born, my father, my mother, they gave me the name Gerson. And then one certain day in my life, something very positive or negative happened. And under that influence, that impact of that experience, I changed my name. I'm not Gerson anymore. I'm John, I'm Jim, I'm B. I do add another name to my name. And when something happens again, there is a third name and a fourth name, and that is the costume in that region. So actually, what happened is that under or on top, the very first identity, the very first name, a person can add so many other names, and the whole identity just pops up. Are you with me? Nice. Thank you. Actually, it's all about this. Originally, me and you, we have an identity. We have a purpose in life. We have this thing that God gave to us at the precise moment of creation. We have a purpose in this life. You know, before being Gerson, I have a purpose in this life. Jim, before being Jim, you have a purpose. You have an identity. And this identity is the original identity that God gave to us. This is the whole perspective, the whole context, the whole situation that Jesus is presenting. Actually, the Jews, they had a purpose. They were the ones responsible to bring forth the kingdom of God. But they failed, brutally failed, because they were so involved by things that were happening on that time in their society that they lost their original perspective, their original identity, their original purpose. What God did, He came to this world in Jesus Christ, because Jesus is God. And this God, this loving God, this beautiful God, my God, your God, He came here in Jesus, and He started remembering the Jews about their purpose, what they should do. But they didn't pay attention to God, to Jesus. So now Jesus stepped aside, and He starts teaching, giving this responsibility of telling the whole world about a new era, a new situation called Kingdom of God to us, to the disciples, to me and to you. This is beautiful. This is deep. This is strong. This is our identity. We are the heirs. We are those who should bring forth the kingdom of God. And I'm going to tell you something. We are doing a beautiful job in this community. Because that's what I have seen here since I joined you. I have seen people working as deacons, as elders, pastors, as members, singing, playing, preaching, teaching, doing so many things and inspiring us, making us to remember our original purpose. This is beautiful. This is deep. This is very strong. How about the soil? The soil is there. I think that by understanding our identity, by understanding my identity, understanding my purpose, my original purpose, I do define who is my Father, who is my God, what is the ideology I'm going to bring into my life in order to perform the right thing. Understanding our identity, understanding our purpose. So, what is our identity? We are basically, the Bible teaches, we are the stewards of creation. We are the caretakers. We are the ones who are still in partnership with God, spreading the seeds, because we are good soil. Because we are those who have received, are paying attention, are devoting time to learn, to, in the next moment, act upon what we learned about our original identity. When I went to see yesterday the Phantom of the Opera, honestly, I saw myself performing up in the stage as well. Because I identify myself with so many things there. I was singing. I was the phantom. I was in the river. I was all that. And as we walk together as a community, we day by day understand, remember our identity, our purpose. And on top of that identity, throughout our lives, we have had so many names, so many perspectives. What is it? We are engineers. I am a nurse. We are doctors. We are singers, we are teachers, we are professors, we are students, we are son, we are daughter, we are father, we are mother, we have identities. But all those identities or those names are based in one single thing, the purpose we have in order to spread, to let the world know about the Word of God. We are caretakers. We are the ones who are taking care of the world. That's why we don't let ideologies to take care of our mentality. We cannot. We cannot expect that companies and whoever try to convince us about who we are, we cannot let them provoke this change in ourselves, because originally we have our own identity. We are the ones who just listen, observe, and by listening, learning, and knowing our original purpose, we do intervene in this world. And this, in this way, proclaim the word of God, the kingdom of God. It's all about who I am, all about who you are. And it's all about the way we learn, the way we devote ourselves to learn, to listen, to absorb, and to understand. For example, every Sunday we have learning opportunities here in our community. We have a Bible study. We have Bible Academy. We have music. We have the worship, which is a powerful, extremely powerful pedagogic way to remember us about our identity. We are careful listeners, because if we don't listen well, we will not understand. If we do not understand other ideologies, we'll take care. The bird will come and remove the seeds. The thorns will suffocate us. In fact, when we listen carefully, we learn. And when we learn, we perform. We perform. We do what must be done as teachers, as nurses, doctors, engineers, as sons, daughters, pastors, deacons, in any capacity. So, this is all about our identity. It's all about who we are. Good soil. Good soil, according to Jesus, according to God. This is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case, 100-fold, in another case, 60, in another one, 30, in another one, 20, 5, 85, 82, 83, so many possibilities. We bear fruits. So, this morning, I want to thank you for your good job here. And if in your heart you understand that you could do more, do more. If you have more time, if you have strength, if you have this willingness in your heart, make our community known, not only in this neighborhood, in this city, in the whole world, as a community that along so many communities are the community of this good soil. And we continue to proclaim the word of God, the kingdom of God, until Jesus returns. God bless you, and thank you for your good job. Thank you very much.
Please stand as we read or recite our affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He descended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now it's time that we give back to our Lord all the blessings he's shared with us. We certainly have reason to give to further his work in this church and in the world. Dear Jesus, we thank you for these offerings that our people have brought back to you. And Lord, as this summer continues, let us remember our food basket for the Camp Street pantry. Summertime brings many wholesome foods, but we still need our canned goods, Lord, to feed the many that turn up on Saturdays. And Lord, you've blessed us so much. Let us be ever thankful, and let us, Lord, never forget that we are your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.